Hey everybody, welcome to the program. It's Tuesday. My name is Barbara, and you are exactly in the right place at the right time for information and connections in the world, and especially in our little corner of the world. You know, I had announced that our deputy prosecutor, Dan Rodriguez, would be with us today, but Dan got called into a task force meeting that's going on right now, even as we speak. And so I am pleased for all of us that Bonner County prosecutor, Lewis Marshall, has stepped up to be with us today. Lewis, thank you for being with us. Thank you for the coming in at the last minute.
My pleasure, Barbara. Good to be here.
Thank you. You know, when Dan sent me an email, I think it was, giving me the good news, he told me I had been upgraded at no extra cost.
He's not getting a raise for that.
I'll let you guys settle that. You know, we're going to explore today the prosecutor's office, the role they play in law enforcement, and how they make the determinations that they make. I want to talk about, with Lewis Marshall, the current law as it stands in Idaho regarding pre-born babies, and also crime issues. We're going to talk about crime in our area. So stay around. We have a lot on the plate today. You don't want to miss anything, and we'll be right back after this.
Bonner's Ferry Glass has long been the place to go for a multitude of services, including rock chip repair or windshield replacement and lock and key services. Plus, you'll always find a staff of trained professionals at Bonner's Ferry Glass. If you need commercial and or residential doors, windows, garage doors, screen window and door repair, or even custom glass cutting for tabletops or picture frames, they do it all at Bonner's Ferry Glass on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
The sights and sounds of downtown Sandpoint create a shopping and dining experience like no other. Sharon's Hallmark is filled with new fall merchandise, candles featuring great fall fragrances, cozy throws, warm pajamas, socks, and slippers. Step into Eve's Leaves where you'll find great fall and winter merchandise, specially chosen collections from top fashion designers and accessories to complement you and your contemporary lifestyle. Join them for the Sandpoint Shopping District's annual Apple Fest on Saturday, October 15th.
The it's always the right time deal.
Hey, want to go to Mickey D's for lunch?
Ooh, let's go now.
But it's not lunchtime yet.
If we're going to McDonald's, it's always the right time.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
There's a deal for every lunch hour at McDonald's.
Now's the time to mix and match a few of your faves. Buy one McChicken, McDouble, or Hot and Spicy McChicken and get another one for just a buck. Price and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
If you're a don't-talk-to-me-before-I've-had-my-coffee type of person, then go get a refreshingly sweet McCafé iced coffee made with 100% Arabica beans at McDonald's. And I'll wait.
Now for a limited time, get a sweet and cinnamony pumpkin spice iced coffee. Or keep it classically cool with caramel and French vanilla. Enjoy a medium in any flavor for just $2. Only at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hello, this is Scott.
And Ty of Albertson Barlow Insurance Services.
We have 42 years of combined experience and are very proud to provide the Sandpoint area with quality, competitive companies and exceptional service.
For all your insurance needs, whether it's life, health, home, auto, or commercial coverage, Scott and I are available to assist you in determining what coverage meets you and your family's needs.
We are located in the old Powerhouse Building, Suite 203, so come on down and see us or check us out on the web, Albertson Barlow Insurance.
Ting wants you to have amazing internet for less. With support from the federal ACP program, we're offering qualified households a $30 discount on their internet bill. That means you'll pay just $9 a month with no contract for our Home Fiber 50 package. Lightning fast fiber internet that's perfect for streaming and gaming. Now available at an incredibly low price. See if you qualify for this offer by visiting tinginternet.com/ACP offer. That's tinginternet.com/ACP offer.
KBFI, KSPT, North Idaho's radio.
All right, everyone, welcome in again. Join me as we say another hello and welcome to Lewis Marshall. Thanks again for being with us.
Thank you.
Let's begin with you introducing yourself to our audience, you know, a little bit about your background and how you became prosecutor.
Well, I went to law school at the University of Idaho in Moscow, and I met my wife there, and we became married, and she got a job down in Boise as an insurance defense lawyer, and we kind of went down there for just a little bit and decided we really didn't like Boise. We wanted to get back up to North Idaho, and just so happened at that time, the city of Sandpoint was looking for a city prosecutor, and I applied to that position and got it, and just moved up here back in 2001.
Okay, and but your county... You were
yes.
a deputy prosecutor for the county and now prosecutor for Bonner County, correct?
That is correct. So in 2002, I moved over to Bonner County. I was a deputy under Phil Robinson for about six years. And then I ran in the 2008 election, and it's been four terms now.
Yeah. Just for your information, you know, the prosecutor's office is an elected position, but interestingly, Lewis and the prosecutor's office are not on your ballot this November. The prosecutor runs on the same cycle that the president of the United States does, so you run again. In 2000, and assuming you're going to run again, you'll run again in 2024, correct?
Yeah, that is correct, and it's a partisan position, which a lot of people think it should not be, and it is what it is. I'm a Republican.
Right.
I've always been a Republican, but yeah, I mean, I'll run on the Republican ballot, and so you have to go through a primary and then the general election if I make it through the primary.
Yes. Well, I am so in favor and support candidates who go through the primary process. It's the way we get to know you. It's not just here on the radio. It's at forums. It's at the library. It's at Granges. I mean, you candidates are all, if you want to be a part of the stuff here, you are all over. And I think it's very important that all candidates go through that vetting process.
I agree with you 100%. I will admit that, you know, sometimes it's tough after being in a long day of being in court, doing my job, and then being like, oh my God, I got to go down to the Blanchard Grange or the senior center down there at 7:30 at night.
And there's 15.
Exactly. And there's 15 or 20 people there, but it's a really good way of getting to know the community.
Yep.
And I think actually during election time, I'd much rather be unopposed, of course, but during election time, it's a good time for me to force me to get out in the community and just stop being just in the courtroom or behind my desk.
And listen and hear what the people are talking about. I'll guarantee you those 15 or 20 people are going to go out and talk to 20, 40 more people. They will talk about you over coffee the next day. So
those are the people that are truly engaged in our local politics. I mean, they're taking the time at 7:30 at night to go out. And most of the time it's, you know, it's in the early spring or the fall when it's dark outside already. And they're driving to these places and all they've got is cookies and maybe a cup of coffee. But they're engaged in local politics. And I agree with you 100%. God bless them for being there. So
yes.
I have no complaints about doing that.
Yeah. Let's talk about the relationship between the prosecutor's office and the police force or the sheriff's department. What is the flow there?
Yeah. So that's a really awesome question. And it really makes a difference on what type of jurisdiction you're in. So like big cities with a big city DA, there's very little, I would say, communication between the officers on the street, law enforcement, and the DA's office. There's real segmentation there. In a smaller jurisdiction like ours, there's a lot more coordination and communication. So my office takes an active role in almost all the big investigations that we do. We talk directly to the police officers. They have an open line with us. They can call us anytime, and they do 24 hours a day. What some people don't, I guess, maybe realize is that as a prosecuting attorney, we're basically over all of the law enforcement agencies. So Sandpoint Police Department, Bonner County Sheriff's, Priest River, Ponderé, and Idaho State Police all bring their cases to my office to go ahead and prosecute.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not just the sheriff's office, for instance. It's Sandpoint Police Department. And
very interesting. So is it fair to say that the police, they do an investigation, they find a suspect, they believe they have the evidence for this suspect, and they arrest him and accuse him or charge him? Charge is the right word?
They arrest him. Okay. So the prosecutors actually do the charging.
Okay, so they may bring that suspect, can I use that word,
yep,
to you, or the case to you? You may decide that there isn't enough evidence. You may decide we're not going to charge, or we will, or we'll charge this, not that. Is that a part of the decision that distinguishes your office?
It absolutely does, and it's a really difficult one sometimes, and I'll tell you particularly when, and that's in murder cases, because there's a timing that goes into this. So let's say we've developed a suspect, the cops have developed a suspect, they're going to arrest the guy, they decide to arrest the guy, he then is in custody. We have 14 days from when he goes into custody to put him through a preliminary hearing, which means that we have to sort of establish that he did it. Well, a lot of times you would think, well, how hard can that be? Well, it's really hard sometimes because none of our forensic evidence is back in that amount of time. So when you make the arrest right after someone has shot somebody, you don't have ballistics, you're not going to have blood, you're not going to have fingerprints, you're going to have hardly anything in terms of forensic evidence. Not even the autopsy report will be back within 14 days. Right. So, you know, we're there and we've got to put on this evidence and there's no evidence to be had. Let's say the guy doesn't confess, which many times they don't confess. And so there's that 14-day time period that really is difficult for us to meet sometimes. Now, on the other hand, if we say, okay, we're going to wait until that evidence is built up, then you've got someone that you pretty much know has committed a murder who's out on the streets. So you're rolling the dice that the person, A, will not kill somebody else, or B, run.
Or leave the area,
or C, maybe kill themselves, which is not being brought to justice.
Yeah.
So you've got to weigh those things, and we do that. That is ultimately our decision, but we do so in conjunction with law enforcement.
During those 14 days, I'm assuming the suspect is incarcerated, no matter what the charge, or certainly on a murder charge, or who decides that there'll be bail or no bail?
That is a judicial decision. So when the person is arrested, they're brought before the judge typically the next day. Unless
called
it's
an arraignment?
Yeah, it's okay. An arraignment within 48 hours. The judge then makes the decision on what the bail is.
Bail or no bail?
Or no bail. Most of the time there is bail, but in capital cases, there can be no bail.
Now, I know this is a very new and ongoing case, and you may not be able to say anything, and I and the audience will respect that. But I'm interested in the young person who has been arrested on threatening messages on social media yesterday regarding the high school. Is it different for a minor than it is for an adult with these 48 hours and the 14 days?
It's very similar. It's different in the 14 days. It's very similar that they need to be brought before a judge right away, which they are pretty much within a few days. But then they don't have to have a 48 or a 14-day hearing. They just have to have like a hearing set before the judge within, you know, oftentimes it's within a month or two, but it's not that set 14-day hearing.
Okay. One other question. In talking with Sheriff Wheeler, and this has really been some time ago, so I'm assuming nothing has changed, is that one of the reasons that he typically wants to have a larger jail facility is so at the appropriate times, the sick can be separated from the non-sick, the men from the women, the young, if they have a young person that they brought in, they have to be completely segregated from the adult population. And so it may look like we have enough bunk beds or rooms or cells or whatever they are, but we don't for all of those different situations.
Yes. I think, you know, and I'm glad that people maybe don't fully understand what is going out in the community. It's probably a good thing that they don't, but I can tell you this, Barbara. I mean, I mentioned most of the listeners probably don't know that we have four active murder there are four suspects in our jail for murder right now.
Did not know that. So where are they in the 14 days? Are they going to be out pretty soon?
No. Two of them are past the 14 days, and the other two are not. So two are awaiting trial. Two are just in the sort of the preliminary phase. But there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the community that I don't think people understand. But going back to the issues with the jail, I mean, we have violent people in there that have to be segregated from the
rest of the jail population.
Exactly. Let's say someone is in on a DUI or has not complied with the court has ordered and they have to go back in for something. We don't really want people that have been charged or convicted of DUI to be in with the murderers. It just doesn't. The sheriff has to make sure that those people are safe.
Why would this information not be known in our community? Is there a section of the Daily Bee that I've been not reading, or they just don't cover it? They don't care. I mean, we've got four murder suspects that are in jail right now awaiting their trials, I'm assuming. Why don't we know that?
You know, when Keith Kennard was around, you know, he was a great guy, and I think that he reported on a lot of those. Okay. And then I think maybe just unfortunately, after he was gone, maybe I think there's a new kid over at the Daily Bee that has taken an interest in it.
Okay.
But I don't know, because there's social media out there, and it just doesn't seem like people are that engaged with it. I'd like to think that maybe people just trust that I'm doing my job, but
I
don't know.
I think we do that also.
I think they do, but you need to watch me too.
Yeah, I celebrate and trust all aspects of law enforcement. I mean, the police and the sheriff and the Idaho troopers or the Idaho police, from the dispatchers to the people that keep the jail and work in the jail and serve there. It is an amazing process. It's so important. And I just rely on it that y'all are keeping me safe.
Right. I think people don't sometimes think about, you know, just for our community, and by that I mean entire Bonner County, but the vast distances that, let's say, for instance, a sheriff's office is dealing with, that they could be out on a call off a Spirit Lake cutoff and have no backup within 20 minutes, let's say, you know what I mean? And they have to be able to handle those situations really, really well. Whereas if you're talking about the city of Coeur d'Alene, there's 10, 12, 20 officers that are right by, close by, that can respond.
Right.
We don't have that luxury.
They have a large area, too, for Kootenai County. However, they have many more officers
Correct.
To cover that large area.
Yes.
A quick question about these four suspects for murder that are incarcerated right now. Are these local murders, or are these murderers that are waiting extradition to another place where they committed the crime?
Oh, no. These are all mine.
Wowza.
Yep.
For heaven's sakes, what's going on?
I know. We have seen an uptick in violent crimes over the last several years. It used to be we'd have about one murderer per year, but it seems like we're, unfortunately, going above that now.
You know, when I was chatting with Dan Rodriguez, the deputy prosecutor for Bonner County who reports to Lewis, he said there was such a thing called pandemic crime. What is that? Is that true? What is that?
You know, I think that they're going to have to really look at the statistics on that, but it does seem to be that, you know, I don't know if it was a combination of people not working, people being just generally depressed and distressed, that clearly I think it drove people not only into more drug usage, but also into committing crimes.
Yes, certainly more drug usage. I mean, that was reported really almost from the get-go, that in almost all areas and almost all ages, but certainly in like that middle adult during the lockdown, they were doing drugs and drinking a lot more alcohol. So there were more DUIs and more violent abuse in the family or depression or whatever.
There's no question.
Very sad.
We've definitely seen a huge uptick in DUIs. And the nature of those DUIs, a lot of times it's really high BACs. So the people's blood alcohol is twice the legal limit, three times, four times the legal limit. And they're out driving around on the roads. And we've seen a lot of that.
You know, is it just my imagination for, you know, because like maybe I think I'm living in the past, but it seems to me whenever, you know, I get the sheriff's office alert on my phone that says, you know, Highway 41 is closed due to, it seems like I'm just getting a bunch of those. There are more and more and more accidents. Are those to a certain extent driven by alcohol and drugs or just people that don't know how to drive or what?
I think it's a combination of both. Certainly out there's alcohol related crashes. Also seen a lot of aggressive driving crashes. So that's aggressive driving could be just even speeding, tailgating, things of that nature. But there's no question. And I don't know if there's a real solid answer on whether or not it's mainly the uptick in our population, more people on the roads, or if it's people drinking and driving and doing drugs as well. I'm not sure that we have the numbers for that yet, but clearly, you're not mistaken in that.
Both. It's both.
It's both, and there's been a lot more really serious accidents and fatalities that we've seen on our highways.
Yeah. I've lived in Bonner County for, you know, over 30 years, but I'm 2 years just living in Sandpoint. And, so I don't have a lot of experience driving day to day to day in Sandpoint, but just in my little world, there's just a lot more aggressive driving right here on our city streets. People just zoom in that left-hand turn in front of you or pulling out in front of you. They just won't wait.
Yeah, it's really bizarre because I think those of us that have lived here for a long time, we are very, very polite and respectful in our driving habits, and we kind of grown to get used to that. And it's a little weird now when we encounter new drivers that are not that way.
Exactly. I mean, Super One's like 3 minutes away. What's the old bumper sticker? Slow down. You're in Idaho now.
Right.
Relax. All right, everybody. We are up against a break, and we're going to take that right now.
Hi, this is Dawn from the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Come walk with us on October 8th in Sandpoint. NAMI Walks Your Way is the largest, most vibrant mental health awareness event in the country. Our local NAMI chapter is inviting you to share stories, build community and awareness, and walk together with a goal to achieve mental health for all. This is our very first NAMI Walk event, and we're excited. Come join us on October 8th on the Dover Path at 10 a.m. For more information, visit namifarnorth.org.
Sun Rental Center has been consistently reliable since 1979. Whether you're a large contractor or a homeowner with an important project, Sun Rental Center is your number one call for equipment rental and services. They go the extra mile, offering hourly, daily, weekly, monthly, and longer rental options with industry standard products from John Deere, Doosan, Genie, JLG, Multiquip, Ditch Witch, Makita, Honda, Steel, and more. Sun Rental Center is open in Sandpoint Monday through Saturday from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Ting wants you to have amazing internet for less. With support from the federal ACP program, we're offering qualified households a $30 discount on their internet bill. That means you'll pay just $9 a month with no contract for our Home Fiber 50 package. Lightning fast fiber internet that's perfect for streaming and gaming. Now available at an incredibly low price. See if you qualify for this offer by visiting tinginternet.com/ACP offer. That's tinginternet.com/ACP offer.
What's better than the perfect cut of meat for a tasty meal? That's easy. The perfect cut of meat on sale.
Super One Foods 12-hour meat sale this Thursday only with great savings on USDA Choice Boneless Beef New York Steak, $6.98 a pound. Boneless Beef Sirloin Tip Roast, $2.98 a pound. Prairie Fresh Boneless Pork Loin Roast, $1.98 a pound.
Super One Foods 12-hour meat sale this Thursday only. The savings are sizzling.
Richard Marx is taking the stage at Northern Quest this fall. Join us for a special acoustic performance of classic hits and chart-topping ballads by the Grammy-winning musician. Performing live at the Pondere Pavilion on Sunday, November 20th. Get your tickets today at northernquest.com.
Chances are you've heard of the Roaring Twenties, a time when alcohol was illegal, so naturally people partied like never before. Well, I don't know if you've checked, but it's the 20s again. Introducing Highball, a modern speakeasy. All the fun of the original Roaring Twenties with none of the jail time. Whether it's a Thursday ladies' night or a simple Sunday brunch drag show, the 20s will roar like never before at Highball, now open, only at Northern Quest. Yes, the best.
North Idaho's Radio, KSPT and KBFI.
Hey everybody, I am so glad that you're with us today, and I have a feeling you are too, because our guest today is Lewis Marshall. He is the prosecutor for Bonner County, and we just have a lot of good information coming out to you. I hope you're enjoying it. And by the way, all right, listen to this. You know, it's been years and years and years since I have invited people to call the show or give away books or tickets or whatever. So I'm starting a new thing where every week I am going to ask you to call, and I'll try to give you something if you will call. I've got two books here, Chicken Soup for the Soul. It's called Your 10 Keys to Happiness. It's stuff like count your blessings, let forgiveness be a part of your life, help somebody, less stuff, step outside your comfort zone. And so it's 10 keys. And if you know Chicken Soup, this is not a book that you go reading through like a great big long book. This is just little stories that you can open up any place and enjoy a little inspirational, funny story. And I am going to add 10, this is 10 keys to happiness, or I'm going to add number 11 in honor of our guest today. Key number 11 for happiness, Lewis, is don't break the law. Just, you know, be Dudley Do Right and stay in the framework of the law. So it's 208-265-8255. You can remember that. You can put that on speed dial. 208-265-TALK, T-A-L-K, 8255. And of course, we want you to do that hands-free with your seatbelt on. You know, we don't want you to illegally call the show. But call and you can get a free book, okay? Pat will be happy to take your name and you are going to get a wonderful book. These are lovely brand new books. So come on. 208-265-8255. All right, Lewis, I want to talk about the situation in Idaho with our current actual law for unborn babies, for life in the womb. You just go ahead and explain to our audience with the Dobbs decision what that means here in Idaho, what has happened.
Okay, so the Dobbs decision basically just said that it is not a constitutional right to have an abortion. So that once that occurred, then essentially it means that states, it goes back to a state issue, which, you know, most what things do come under the umbrella of the states to decide. And so Idaho had already set up, Idaho had active laws on abortion prior to that. And then they also had a trigger law that went in effect in August that basically prohibits almost all abortions here in the state of Idaho, with some notable exceptions. And so there's that framework going on, and then there's also a federal lawsuit and federal law that sort of coincides in how they mesh together. It's really uncertain at this time. I think the best answer I can give is that there are certain situations for healthcare providers in a hospital, depending on the general health of the mom or what the physician deems to be, where physicians can go ahead and perform an abortion. That contradicts the state law a little bit, where there's, you know, it talks about the life of the mother. And so there's a variation there between life and serious health under the federal law. The Idaho law also prohibits having abortion anywhere but in a hospital situation.
Or the physician's actual clinic.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, so if it's during the certain early time period in the physician's setting, office, but then after a certain time, only hospital.
Exactly. Certain time of pregnancy, like certainly in the last trimester.
Right.
The one thing that I think I like, because I think I understand it, is in current Idaho law, there are what we call affirmative defenses. In other words, you know, doctors and nurses that participate, they're protected. They have affirmative defenses that protect them from any kind of lawsuit or if they do it within the framework to save the mother's life in the case of rape or incest, then it's all good.
Right. And so I think that, you know, to just from my perspective as the district attorney, the prosecuting attorney here, I think some in the legal profession would say, well, that's an affirmative defense. So the prosecutor could still charge a felony against a doctor, and then they would have to affirmatively defend that. You know what I mean? So they'd have these charges. I don't really see that as happening. It's very, very difficult. If a physician makes a determination with a patient, It's hard for who is a district attorney to go in and say, well, I disagree with you, doctor.
This is a medical
decision. I'm not an obstetrician. I'm sorry. I don't want to be one. It's not my job to go in and say, you know, you are wrong. This woman would have been perfectly fine. How would I know that? And no district attorney would know that. Now, that being said, you know, there's a difference between that and just blindly not following the law or saying, you know, we can't take these cases. I'm not saying that either.
Right.
I'm just saying there's some practical concerns. So I know there's a lot of people in the community that are worried that, you know, all these doctors may now start getting prosecuted because they've talked to a young lady about their options. They're not going to be prosecuted for that. No. We don't do abortions here in Bonner County. We haven't. We're not going to start. So a lot of this isn't going to touch us here locally. And again, there's a lot of flux at the state here. There's a lot of uncertainty. My guess, and it's just an educated guess, is I think things are going to pretty much stay the way they were, to be honest with you.
You know, one of the things that I think would be interesting for the audience to hear you comment on is we're talking right now about law as it stands right now in Idaho regarding a procedure called abortion. And what are the affirmative defenses and what are the boundaries around that? On the other hand, we have laws that are homicide laws and manslaughter laws. And there are two men right now in prison because one guy killed his wife or his girlfriend and she was pregnant. So the baby was also killed and he was convicted of two counts of first-degree murder, so that baby was acknowledged. Am I correct?
I'm very, very aware of that because it was my case.
Really? When you were prosecutor?
Yes, absolutely. That case stems from a horrible situation that occurred in Priest River, maybe about 10 years ago now, where he stabbed his wife, I think 37 times, if I remember, and I was able to show that the baby was viable, which I forgot. I can't remember how old the baby was. How many weeks?
They're younger and younger.
Yeah,
now
but
that
it
they
was
can make them.
The baby was clearly viable at that point, and so I was able to establish that the baby was a human being under our homicide laws, and I charged it as murder and got the conviction.
Yeah, I think it's important that people understand this differentiation between the abortion laws and then homicide and manslaughter. And comment: there's also a gentleman in prison in Idaho right now convicted of two counts of vehicular manslaughter. Tell us about that.
That was not my case, but I think it's the same set of circumstances where it was a pregnant woman with a viable baby.
Yeah. And so he was charged with not just one count, but two counts. Both of those lives were recognized under the law in Idaho. And I can't tell you how much that pleases me. I just think it is so good and so very important that people understand that. So you don't consider, you don't think, I mean, I know that you do not want to speculate, but that I know in the upcoming legislative session, abortion laws, affirmative defenses are going to be reviewed, but maybe not changed.
I am not sure the way it's going to go. I really am not. I mean, you have the hospital lobby, which is very, very powerful. I know doctors are obviously extremely influential with the legislature, and I know that there is some concern with doctors. I'm not sure if I share their concern or their fear, just because I know the prosecutors, and most are very, very rational people that are going to follow the law. They're not going to get on their high horse and say, well, I'm very, very pro-life, so I'm right. going to go after these guys.
I'm going to go read between the lines. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that I think that's good to hear. One quick thing, and this is Barbara. This is not Lewis Marshall agreeing with what I'm going to say right now. But, you know, at the GOP convention, in principle, all they wanted to say was that as a political party, the Republican Party at their convention said, we support life. We are pro-life. And someone in the audience kind of renegade. Could it have been a Democrat? I don't know. But how did she get there? Anyway, wanted to add a lot of detail about the health of the mother and the mental health of the mother. And it was voted down like over 400 to like 150 people that no, they weren't going to go at that granular level, that detail. All they were saying was a principle at the convention that as a Republican, if you call yourself a Republican and you agree with most of the platform, part of that platform is pro-life. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because there are people that have been attacking one of the candidates that's going to be on your ballot, Scott Herndon, in that, you know, he wants to kill moms and dads. He wants to murder them if they murder their baby. And it's just not true. If you want the facts, you can find them. If you don't want the facts, then you can make them up. Anyway, that's me. That's my opinion. And now back to our guest. You know, before we were talking about, and I'm looking at the clock, I can't believe we're up for another break. Time for another break, so we're going to take it right now. When we come back, we have more conversation about what is going on with crimes in Idaho, and I want to talk about if City Beach is safe at night. All right, everybody, sit, stay.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonners Ferry.
Grunberg Sloss Collector's Cabinet has added ReadyWise Survival and Emergency Foods to their line of food and storage supplies. They also feature preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, plus ammo and knives. And, of course, Grunberg Sloss carries U.S. and world coins, gold and silver, bullion, jewelry, and more. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5, located on Triangle Drive, just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Grunberg Sloss Collector's Cabinet.
Jim and Sonny here. Come to Parker Subaru, we have the right car to fit your budget and get the customer service and attention you deserve.
Thanks, Jim. Yes, Parker Subaru has the right vehicle to meet your needs. From sedans like the Impreza, the longest lasting vehicle in its class, and the Legacy with the largest, most comfortable interior yet. Thinking of a crossover? We have the best at Parker Subaru. Choose from the fuel-efficient Crosstrek, the Forester loaded with safety and tech features beyond the competition, or the legendary Go Anywhere Outback. Or if you need a full-size SUV, check out the Ascent with plenty of ground clearance and 5,000 pounds towing capacity. Make sure your service and repairs are done to Subaru specification. At Parker Subaru, we have a full service department with fully certified technicians. We'll ensure the job is done quickly.
Come to Parker Subaru and get the award-winning attention you deserve. We're at Highway 95 in Dalton and Coeur d'Alene.
With hot, dry summers occurring more frequently, our forests are in more danger than ever. And whether you've lived here a long time or are new to the area, you will be affected, especially if you own forest land. Droughts weaken a forest's ability to fight off disease or invasive bugs. If you own 10 or more acres of forest land, Idaho Forest Group has a suggestion. We can schedule a free, no-obligation tour of your property and help design a plan to minimize the damage to your timber inventory from bugs or disease. Our goal is to make and maintain the health and value of your forest land investment. And if selective thinning is suggested, you may choose to sell any merchantable trees that are removed. Bugs and disease can take a toll on your timberland, so a visit by an Idaho Forest Group forester can help minimize your losses and maintain a healthy forest for years to come. To schedule a free site assessment, visit ifg.com.
KBFI 1450, KSPT 1400, and 97.1 FM.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. Hey, has anyone called yet for the book? Nobody has called for the book. Come on, you guys. I know you're out there. Come on, get to your phone. You're listening on NorthIdahoRadio.com. You're probably at your desk on your computer. Give us a call at 208-265-8255, and you're going to get a free book, Chicken Soup for the Soul, Your 10 Keys to Happiness, which I've made 11. The 11th key is, you know, you do not want to be on the radar scope of Louis Rich, the prosecutor, and his very, very talented crew that they have over there. Louis, I appreciate again your being with us, taking time from what I know is a busy day. Let's go back to the issue of crime. What are some of the increased areas of crime that you're observing in Bonner County?
So we talked a little bit about homicides, unfortunately, but some other major crime. We certainly have seen, we've always had issues with child abuse, but we've had even more cases, it seems like, lately. And in fact, for the 2021 year, believe it or not, we filed more adult cases, which are basically child sex abuse cases, than Ada County did in 2021. Now, I'm really, really hoping that's just a complete anomaly, but for Bonner County, which is essentially, you know, 1/10 the size of Ada County, to have more cases was shocking to me. And I don't like seeing it, but I've made that basically my emphasis for the entire time I've been prosecutor is a focus on those cases, and we will continue to prosecute them even if we're overloaded with them.
What do you attribute that to? Do you think it's that attention that it's getting to be aggressive with it, or it's people are moving in who are sex offenders?
Well, no, I wouldn't. I think a lot of this is homegrown folks that have been in our community a long time. The vast majority of them are. We have the Lilybrook Family Justice Center now, which I think, you know, we have tools that are more comfortable for kids to come forward and make the disclosure, because I think that's the hardest part of the entire process is for the child to make that initial disclosure and tell us what happened to them.
Is CASA a part of your bailiwick? Do they report with you or work with you?
CASA, they do work with us. They're court appointed, so they're actually underneath the court. Okay. But they are looking in the child protection cases. They're looking at the best interests of the children. So yes, they do work with us.
All right. Excellent. So what other crime issues are you seeing on the uptick in, well, I guess Bonner County, I want to say, but really North Idaho. Let's include Boundary. I know you are not over Boundary, but they're listening.
They are. And, you know, I have a very good relationship with Andra Kay, the prosecutor up there. She was she was an intern for me for a couple of years. So I taught her very well. She's going to do fine. But the problems we have are the same, Boundary County and Bonner County, and that is drugs. And so yeah. The early part of my career, we had meth labs, and those were awful. And I'm glad we don't have meth labs anymore. We never stopped having methamphetamine problems, but at least we didn't have the labs. So those are gone. But what it's transitioned to, and really, really heavily transitioned to lately, is fentanyl. And so fentanyl is the components of it are produced in China. They are shipped over to Mexico by and large, and then manufactured in Mexico and delivered here by the cartels, by the Mexican cartels. That over 90% of the fentanyl gets here that way. And so, unfortunately.
So, when you say that, you're talking about coming across our southern border.
Absolutely.
And then just coming all of the United States. What about coming down from Canada?
None that we know of. Very, very little is coming from the Canadian border. Right. Right. We used to, you know, when marijuana was a big problem for us, I kind of wish we could go back to those days where I could worry about marijuana as opposed to fentanyl, which is killing our young people. But anyway, that came from, they called it the BC Bud. Mm. And so we had a lot of marijuana that came down from the Canadian border. That is no longer the case. The fentanyl is almost and the methamphetamine are exclusively coming up from the southern border. They get distributed into the southern states, but then there's an entire distribution network that the cartels run and operate within the United States, including up into Bonner County. So if people don't think that the cartel is here, the cartel is here.
Yes, the cartel operate. Is here, and they have a big group. I was reading an article, this is a while back, in Spokane and Coeur d'Alene. Now, I don't know if the cartel is actually, you know, buying a house here in Bonner County. They very likely could be, but I know they're in Coeur d'Alene.
They are.
Spokane.
They're a big presence in Tri-Cities and in Spokane Valley. And then most of the time they distribute to more localized dealers that go. They pick it up from Spokane and then they bring it back up into our communities. Would it surprise me if they had stash houses at this point here in Sandpoint or in Bonner County? Would not surprise me at all.
Well, they certainly had a stash motel room that's gotten press recently in the Daily Bee. And the thing about fentanyl, the only thing really I understand about it is not only is it bad and it can kill you on the first time you take the pill. It's not like you've got time to make a decision.
Right.
You take it, you could die right then.
Right. So fentanyl has always been, traditionally it's been a really useful medicine for doctors, especially when you're with major surgeries and with people that are going to have acute pain, like severe acute pain during hospitalization, surgeries, etc. Really good stuff. But it was so powerful that they would only, if you'd leave the hospital setting, they would give it to you in patches. Mm. And that was mainly so people couldn't abuse it. It's that powerful. So it's so much more than like Oxycontin or the drugs that you get after a surgery. This is a whole different ballgame from that. It's like 100 times more powerful than morphine.
Okay, this is the lightning round. You can only just almost one answer. Is City Beach safe at night? Can I go walking alone on City Beach at night?
Yes.
Oh, excellent. I like that. I heard City Beach got a little daunting at night, but I'm happy to hear that.
Call me. I'll come down.
All right. I'll get my posse to walk with me. All right, everybody. Listen, I want to say thank you to Lewis Marshall again. He is our Bonner County prosecutor. And if he runs, you will get to vote for him again in 2024. Until then, he's taken care of business in Bonner County. So thank you again. Next week, we're going to change up the pace a little bit. We're going to talk with Celine Larson. She's a local therapist and counselor. And we're going to talk about this transition that we are all in. We're moving from summer to fall and winter, from warm to cold, from light to more darkness, from daylight to no daylight savings. So we're going to get some practical good advice to be upbeat with what's going on. So until then, this is Barbara saying, please take care of yourselves and may God richly bless you, my friend.